Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for the new year, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you thanks for all the blessings that you have blessed us in the previous year, in 2023. We thank you for more of your grace this year and more of your blessings. Thank you, Father. We bring our tithes to you in honor and worship of you. We thank you for blessing all that we have. Thank you for the seed that we bring, that we sow, shall be multiplied back to us. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone say amen. Just let me remind ourselves of year 2025 that is coming. So if you look at this graph again, after Jesus died and rose again, about 300 AD, the whole church in the whole wide world plunged into darkness because Emperor Constantine wanted to make Christianity the religion of Rome. So it corrupted the whole church. The whole church plunged into darkness for 1,000 years. And we call this the Dark Ages. Until about 1502, 1504, Martin Luther stole the Bible and he found out that, you know, in those days, the Roman Catholic Church was corrupted. So Saturday night, you sin, Sunday, you pay penance, pay a certain amount. Then, okay, your sins are forgiven because that's how they raise funds to pay for building of the church. So you go to Rome now, you find a lot of churches are built with very precious marble. So they build with precious marble and they run out of money from building the church. The only way is to steal from the people. So they said, you got to pay penance. You sin, you pay a certain amount, then your sins will be forgiven. But then Martin Luther was one of the priests. Then he had to pay penance. And what he had to do was climb up the stairs to the clock tower, and that's how he had to pay for his sin. So one day, he fell out, he stole the Bible. He don't have Bible to read. He stole the Bible. He read it. He find that, oh, actually by grace, through faith, we are saved. And that's the beginning of what they call the Reformation. The whole church was reformed from 1500s onwards. Martin Luther, that's where the Lutheran church came about. Martin Luther was a German. The revival started there. And then what we call the Evangelical Age. During this time, until 1906, 1500 to before 1900, where all the Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian church came about. So because of the truth has been unfolding, until 1906, Pentecostal revival came, revival of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we speak in tongues, but many of the evangelical, the traditional churches did not accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you find that 1914 to 1918 was the First World War. 1939 to 45 was the Second World War. Pentecostal revival after 1947, Second World War ended, the healing revival started. But 47 to 49 was the Arab-Israel War. And 1948, the nation of Israel was formed again by the healing revival. Then 1966, the charismatic revival. 1967 was the Six-Day Israeli War. Then 1975, 76, the Word of Faith revival, that's where the Yom Kippur War started in 1973. And 2006, 2007, now the Word of Faith revival started in 75, 76. Then 2005, 2006, 2007 was the Grace Revolution. For the first time, a revival or a move of God no longer come out of America, came out of Singapore. Now, before 1900, was all in Europe. From 1900 to year 2000, all in America. From 2006 onwards, the move of God has shifted out of America. So 2005, 2006, 2007. 2007, Pastor Prince's book, Destined to Reign, copyright 2007, impact America and many parts of the world. And then now we have the Hamas-Israel War, 2023. Recently, Karen was leading the alumni to pray, and she prayed into 2025. Instead of praying 2024, she prayed into 2025. The alumni, a few of them, I think two, three of them, all had 2025, and the flow was very strong, praying the 2025. And I drew this long before she prayed out. I said, watch 2026. 2026, somewhere there's going to be another move of God, amen? Why this graph is important? Because since the Dark Ages till the Grace Revolution, every move of God bring about a spiritual increase in the church. And you don't want to go backwards, amen? Once you accept the word of faith, we combine grace and faith together. You don't want to go back. Amen. You want to move forward. You want to move forward with God. And it's just like in the natural. Now they are going into 6G. You don't want to buy a 2G phone. Right now. You don't want to buy a 2G, 3G phone. I don't even want a 4G phone. Amen. So it's the same. Spiritually, it's the same. So that you don't go backwards. Amen. And Word of Faith revival embraced all the previous revivals. And I embrace the grace move of God. So, if you date somebody who don't come to this church, you make a stand, right? Stay with this church. Amen. Especially after Calvin's story, which I told last Sunday. Today, I want to speak to you about the natural working with the supernatural. In the Old Testament, there are numerous instances where, despite prayers and faithfulness, individuals faced challenges, challenging circumstances or trials. Not only in the Old Testament, today also the same thing. After much prayer, after much faithfulness, individuals still face challenging circumstances or trials. Now, similarly, in the situation with Emmanuel, Emmanuel is Calvin and Ming Hui's son. 19 of May, now Emmanuel is sleeping behind. No, he's awake, he's listening to me. Emmanuel was born in August, for those who wasn't here last week. Emmanuel was born in August. May 19, Karen with the alumni prayed out, had Ming Hui. Ming Hui is Calvin's wife. She said, is there going to be difficulties? Then he had the son. At that time, Emmanuel was not born. And when she was pregnant with Emmanuel, a couple of times I just felt to go over and lay hands on her. But the week before Emmanuel was born, suddenly Calvin just couldn't sleep one night. He was so tired, he said, I just want to sleep, but he couldn't sleep. There was such a heaviness, a burden, and he got no choice. He went to the toilet, and he prayed half an hour. Don't have to pray whole night, half an hour. Pray till the burden lifted. Emmanuel was born. Straight away, Emmanuel was put in ICU, intensive care unit. Emmanuel was put in intensive care and had put on oxygen, you know, with the apparatus to help him to breathe. I prayed for Ming Hui when Emmanuel was in the mother's womb. Karen with the alumni at the church praying for Emmanuel. Calvin had to pray for Emmanuel one night. Could not sleep. There was a burden. Pray until the burden lifted. Yet when Emmanuel was born, straight away the doctor had put him into ICU. Today I'll explain to you from a story in the Old Testament. Exactly the same pattern. So after we prayed, after much prayed, you've been faithful, individuals still face challenges in life. That's why I'm concerned, you know, yeah, you date somebody who, especially guys are easy. You're a girl, you date a guy, he will want to pull you to the other church. You better make a stand. You decide what you want to do. Amen. And once Emmanuel was born, even though much prayer was prayed, Emmanuel still required medical intervention and care in the ICU after birth. Then more than a week later, then he came out, he was normal. So it's crucial to recognize that after all the prayers, according to the rules, Emmanuel still required medical intervention and care. So we must look at some Old Testament stories to understand why this is so. The supernatural stops for the natural to take over. Amen. Let's look at the story of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Elijah the prophet, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Now there was a famine. There was a famine. And the Lord spoke to Elijah. He said, you go to live in the village. Not in the city, Dubai. Don't go and find a village there. For there I have instructed a widow. God will have instructed the widow to feed you there. Because there was no water, there was no food. Verse 10, 1 Kings chapter 17. So he went to Zarephath. Now you find there are three stories I'm going to share with you. And there are three things common in these three stories. One, they have to obey what God instructed them. So he went to Zarephath and he arrived at the gates of the village and he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? He had no water because there's a famine. Verse 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 11. As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. Go and get water. And she was going, he said, no, you bring your bread also. Then the woman replied in verse 12, but she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar, and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jar. The bottom of the jar. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will eat, and I will die. I will die. Amen. Last meal. And Elijah said, you go and bring me a cup of water, and bring me the bread. And the bread had to be made using the oil and the flour. Then verse 13. But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you have said, but make a little bread for me first." Eh? The principle of giving. I need it. He wants you to give it to the prophet. Amen. So what you do? You feed yourself and your son, or you feed the prophet? Right now. So the principle of giving, when you give, it always comes back, multiplied back to you. Amen. So, but Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid, go ahead and do what they just said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son." Doesn't make sense. This is the flour, this is the oil, the bottom of the jar. If I make the bread, there's no more. Right or not? So, but you said, then use what is left over. Left over? Left over, what left over? Right or not? But when the instruction of the Lord comes, many a times it doesn't make sense. You just need to follow the instruction. And God always operates this way. When you have a need, He said, you help that fellow first. That's why I said, there are many ways we give. When God speaks to you to give, you better give. Because down the road, you have a need. That's why He spoke to you to give. Because when down the road, when you have a need, He'll meet your need. Amen. And you don't obey Him to give, what happens? When your needs come, you're going to have problems. Your needs will not be met. Then verse 14, 1 Kings chapter 17. "For this is what the Lord God of Israel said. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." There's only little flour, little oil at the bottom of the jar. Make the bread, give it to me first. Then you make, with the extra left over, you make the bread for yourself. He said, "There will always be oil and flour left in your containers until the time when the rain comes and crops begin to grow and they harvest the crops, they grind it into flour, you go and buy the flour, then the supernatural will stop." See that? Right? When there isn't any more flour because of the drought, God will supernaturally provide. But once, when nature can provide, the supernatural stops. Much prayer has been prayed for Emmanuel. It's time for the natural to take over. It's time for the doctors to take over, the apparatus to hook him up, to help him to breathe, take over. What if the parents say, "No, I want God to completely heal him. I don't want to put him in ICU. Finito." Right? Why didn't God just completely heal him and don't have to go ICU? That's why missionary preachers go into villages in India, Indonesia, those far-flung villages. They're miracles. Wow, miracles. You know why? Because in the natural, there's no natural help. Medical help was so negligible or not even there. That's why the supernatural took over. People get healed supernaturally, miraculously. Wow, all the preachers wonder why in the big cities nothing happened. You know why in the big cities nothing happened? No supernatural miracle signs and whatnot. Because there's very good medical doctors around, hospital medicine around. See, you know. But when there are spiritual forces that medical science cannot help, that needs to be dealt with through prayer. Let me just say one more thing which I didn't want to say. Until now, when Karen with the alumni prayed, she wrote one more statement there. I did not share. The spirit of death should rebuke it. That's one thing medical science, your intelligence can never deal with. Karen wrote there, last statement, spirit of death coming against Emmanuel. That's why. Amen. That's why God have us pray for Emmanuel. But imagine that he said, "Don't let him put him in ICU. Don't listen to the doctor." Why didn't God continue to provide for the woman? God, since rain comes, never mind, why don't you continue supernaturally provide? Since I'm a widow, you know. No. Supernaturally, everything stopped. Because the rain came, there was harvest. They harvest the wheat, turn into flour, buy the flour, go and buy the oil, and the supernatural stops. The supernatural will stop when the natural is there to help you. So the instruction for the widow was to make the little bread for the prophet Elijah first, the last bread for the widow and her son was to be given to Elijah. So the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath illustrates the concept of following divine instruction when it seems contrary to common sense. Contrary to common sense, I should feed myself, my son. You should die. No, the instruction is feed Elijah first. Common sense says, drought, famine. There won't be any more flour and oil. But the word of the Lord said, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time. Amen. Now you understand why. Don't ever say, I don't want to see doctor, I don't go for surgery, I don't want to take medicine. Amen. When there's medical help around, there's good, very good medical, excellent medical help, supernatural won't be there. Amen. How do you explain, you know, why don't we all finish praying so that Emmanuel don't have to go ICU? I mean, Calvin had to pray half an hour. He was dead tired, you know. But the Holy Spirit burdened him to pray. Maybe he should pray not half an hour so that he won't be able to go ICU. What about Karen leading the whole alumni group prayer? Huh? What about our Holy Ghost fire, Saturday night prayer, or prayer group prayer? Why don't we pray him that he didn't have to go ICU? What needs to be dealt with in the supernatural is dealt with spiritually. And but there's good, excellent medical help in Singapore. And that's where God will use medical help. Amen. Don't ever fear anything about medical. You fear surgery, you fear go hospital, fear will kill you. Because you make the wrong decision, that's it. Amen. It highlights how God can intervene supernaturally to provide when the natural resources are insufficient. The widow's act of faith in following Elijah's guidance led to a miraculous provision of flour and oil that did not run out until the land produced it again. When the natural is not able, the supernatural will take over. When we have done all we can, the Lord will supernaturally undertake. The supernatural continued until the natural could supply again and the supernatural stopped. His supply for Elijah. Let him eat first. After that, oi, still got oil on flour. Make the next meal for Elijah. Oi, that's enough. Until it started to rain, started to plant crops, they started to harvest, and they started to sell the flour. They grind the wheat and become flour. Then the widow woman started to buy the flour. Then the supernatural stopped. Right? That's why after we prayed, medical help is necessary. Amen. And not only that, after we pray, whatever the situation, the medical help we know will be fine. Amen. Because God knows. Can you see that? This analogy explains why, despite prayers, Emmanuel required medical intervention and was placed in the ICU. When medical assistance was able and effective, the supernatural intervention ceased. Just as the flour and the oil ceased when the land was able to provide again. Amen. So we must acknowledge both the supernatural and the natural means provided by God. We need to accept medical treatments, prescriptions, and assistance from others when they are available and effective. Amen. You don't keep your problem to yourself. You won't be able to solve it. We must acknowledge both the supernatural and natural means provided by God. We need to accept. So this perspective aligns with the belief that while God can work miraculously, He also operates through natural means and resources available to us. We are to follow divine guidance. You know, now, natural means. Sometimes God connects you with some people. That's exactly where the person that will help you. Thank God people in this church doesn't say this thing. If you are sick, if you are dying, you better don't keep quiet. Oh, I don't want everybody to know. Natural helps, medical signs. Natural help, sometimes somebody else just sitting next to you could be the person who will help you. You understand? Amen. So this perspective aligns with the belief that while God can work miraculously, He also operates through natural means and resources available to us. We are to follow divine guidance while also recognizing and utilizing the resources and help provided through conventional means, natural means and conventional means. Amen. So now you understand why we pray. Brother Hagin said it, but he never explained. After you pray, already, he still go into ICU. Don't understand. Oh, Pastor, why pray? Why like that? Pray, why the situation like that? I always understood when Brother Hagin prayed, the hospital called, your mother is in coma. Come and see her for the last time. He went there. He just left the mother. He said, not time to go yet. He just said, not time to go yet. I know. A lot of preachers will go to hospital to pray. It's too late. By the time you go to hospital and pray for you, too late. Cookie told me there were at least 5-6 mothers she come to know. All die of cancer. One of them refused. Actually, she can be treated, but she refused all kinds of treatment. She died of breast cancer. But there's one common problem. He said all that hold grudges against others for years. And there's one that died very quickly because he doesn't want treatment. It's okay, you want treatment, but you better get your healing from the Lord. You don't get it, it's finished. Amen. Next one, let's study. The natural working together with the supernatural. Supernatural stops when the natural stops. Now, this is the reverse. Now we look at a different situation. When the Lord instructs us to do something in the natural, the supernatural will continue to manifest. The moment we stop doing it, doing the natural, the supernatural will stop. Amen. Now let's look at another story here. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elijah and cried. Now just now was Elijah. This is Elijah. Elijah was Elijah's disciple. And this widow, or widow again, the husband was part of Elijah's prophet's group. The husband died. My husband served you, he's dead. You know how he feared the Lord. But now the creditors has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. Verse 2, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. What can I do to help you? Elijah asked. Then Elijah continued to ask, tell me what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Whatever you have in the natural. Same thing. The first widow had flour and oil. This one, Elijah asked her, what do you have in your house? And the widow said, in verse 3, the woman said, nothing at all except the flask of olive oil. Don't even have flour. She replied, this one only have a flask of oil. Then verse 3, Elijah said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Go outside. I mean, I don't want to go and borrow, you know. So shameful, you know. So shameful to tell you, well, I got no food in home. I mean, early on, Elijah, God just supernaturally manifests. Wow, more oil, more oil, more flour. Why must I go borrow jars? I have one flask, what? Why don't, you know, just multiply like that, But this time, I must go and borrow. The other widow don't have to borrow. I must go and borrow, no? What do? You follow every instruction that's given by the Lord. Amen. Go and borrow from your friends. Verse 4. Then go into your house. That's why I say, sometimes when you go and study abroad, you have friends there, ask them, hey, where can I find housing? Right? Don't keep to yourself. Then after that, you know, ask your daddy, you know, how help me to find housing in somewhere, in some country down under. Your father knows, man. God stationed a friend down there to help you, the one to use. Could be, I mean, not necessarily that friend will be the one God could use to help you. He can sing. When the Lord spoke to me to go to Bible school right now, I have a friend. He works in a bank. Before that, he told me, he said, yeah, I want to rent your house and your car. 2 months before that, he said, I want to rent your house and a car. So when the Lord spoke to me to go to Bible school in the U.S., I went to look for him. I said, hey, you want to rent my house and a car or not? Wow, he squeezed me, you know. I said, fed up. He squeezed me. Huh? This kind of friend. You know, I'm going to find somebody else. Huh? God has somebody else ready for me. Do you know who? Stayed in my house, rented my house, helped me to go Bible school. Pastor Prince. I thought my friend. Sometimes you think it's your friend, but it's not your friend. God has somebody else. I thought this is my university friend, you know, good friend. I helped him before. And he works in a bank. He makes good money. Make so much more money than me. He want to squeeze me. He want to rent my HDB flat. He want to get in my car. Then I call the other person I know, the agent. I say, hey, you know anybody who want to rent my place? No. He said, yeah, my pastor's getting married. I said, okay, ask him to come and see. Anyway, I know him. He said, ask him to come and see my place. He came. He rented and stayed in my house for 2 years while I'm in U.S. for 2 years. Verse 4, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour the olive oil in your flask into the jar, setting each one aside when it is filled. That's all. Just fill. Huh? Fill and then put aside. I borrow so many jars. Fill it up and I only got one flask. Fill so many jars. How to fill? Doesn't make sense? When God instructs you, you just obey lah. Go borrow first, talk later. Correct or? He said you go borrow after that you pour into the jar. All the jars that you borrow. I only got one flask of olive oil. So many jars. How to pour? That's where the supernatural comes in. Right? You pour. Then what do you do? Elijah didn't say. Many a time you don't obey the first instruction, second instruction won't come. This widow woman was smart. So she did as she was told. Don't argue. When the Lord tells you to do something, just do it. Her sons kept bringing the jars to her and she filled one after another. Fill. Oh, what am I going to do with all the jars for olive oil? Verse 6, soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another one, she said to her sons. There ain't any more, no more. Really. And he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When the natural stops, the supernatural will stop. When you stop acting on what God speaks to you, the supernatural will stop. Amen? Amen. You stop. Actually, here there's no limit. The limit is outside the world. How many jars can you borrow? How many friends will lend it to you? How many enemies will lend it to you? Right now. So that's where the limitation. Limitation is not with God. Amen. Verse 7, 2 Kings chapter 4. When she told the man of God what happened, he said to her, now the second instruction comes. Now sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and sons can live on whatever is left over. Tells me two things. God always provides. Secondly, there are always more than enough left over. Amen. When the natural stops, the supernatural stops. The widow did as she was told by following the Lord's instruction given by Elisha. It is important to note that the Lord gave the second instruction after she obeyed the first. This narrative emphasizes the importance of utilizing what one possesses. Your friend is what you possess. I mean, if you ask your friend, can I help you, then maybe there's another one, you know. Maybe he knows somebody else can help you to find your housing or whatever. Even if it's seemingly insignificant as a starting point for God's miraculous provision. Insignificant one. One jar of olive oil, so many, borrow one jar, one little flour, a little oil, the bottom of the jar. You know how Pastor Prince come and stay in my place? I met him 7 years before I went to Bible school. That's how God connect me to meet my needs 7 years down the road. I met him in 1986, 9 years later. So now you say, go and sell the oil. The emphasis is when the individual exhausted their efforts or capabilities in the natural realm, the supernatural provision also ceases. The supernatural provision ceased only when she ran out of the jar to fill. The widow's obedience to gather jars and pour oil result in an overflow of oil until the container were filled. The story illustrates the limitation imposed by external factors like the number of jars she could borrow, internal factor, the oil she had at home. So there's a parallel between the widow's situation and people's talents or gifts. Just as the widow had to pour her oil into the borrowed jars, for multiplication, individuals should use their talents, invest them, and seek opportunity for growth. Same in the workplace, when you have a gift, you are special, don't keep it. I don't want to use it. I usually benefit you only. When God gives you a job, you have to be diligent in using in your workplace. Right or not? I don't keep it to myself. You keep. You just get constipation, stuck. Hey, man, if you have any gifting, your talent, you are specialized in any area, just impart the skill. Right or not? When you give, it always come back to you. If someone doesn't explore or utilize, of course, with wisdom, you get what I'm saying? If someone doesn't explore or utilize their talents due to limitations in their environment or lack of initiative, the supernatural expansion or multiplication of those talents may not occur. Ultimately, utilizing the resources and taking the initiative to seek opportunity is important. God's supernatural provision often operates in conjunction with human effort and obedience. Ceasing when the natural means or efforts come to an end, the supernatural will cease, will stop. So this story serves as a reminder of the synergy between human action and divine intervention in experiencing God's miraculous provision. Amen. Else you pray so much, nothing happens. Because you know why? In the natural, you do nothing. Amen. Third story, supernatural stops when we give up. I mean, can you imagine God gives you a job while you're doing so well? After that, you give up. You get disappointed, you give up. Supernatural stops. Third story, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. When Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. So Elisha was dying. Verse 15, 2 Kings chapter 13, Elijah told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Verse 16, Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elijah laid his hand on the king's hand. Verse 17, and the commander opened that eastern window and he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elijah proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over your enemy Aram. For you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. He's doing well so far. Shoot one arrow. Okay, he shot. Successful, got promoted. Right? Verse 18, 2 Kings. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. Whoa, shoot arrow. I'm the king, man. Look at my archery skill. Phew. But now the next instruction. Pick up the remaining arrows, one whole bunch, and strike the ground. I'm the king, you know. And now I got promoted. You know, my boss favored me. I got promoted. Now ask me to do stupid thing. Huh? Take the arrows, bunch of arrows, not one, so heavy, and strike the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. Elijah says, struck how many times? Elijah didn't say. He just said, strike the ground. Three times, then he stopped. Then verse 19. But the man of God was angry with him, the prophet. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. All he had to do is strike two more times or three more times. But he won't know. And God also won't tell him. Strike the ground. How many times? Elijah was silent. So when you obey God, you obey Him all the end. Right now. And God knows. He won't let you strike forever and nothing happens. Correct now. He knows. He just won't tell you. Amen. So what do? You got promoted, suddenly given some unimportant task. You ask the Lord. The Lord said, I put you there. He didn't tell you to leave, to resign. Then you continue, Lord. Why you worry about, suddenly I was so important, I got promoted doing something so significant. Suddenly give me something insignificant. You don't know what's coming up next. Amen. Only God knows. But the important thing is, you hear from God, you obey Him. And don't stop obeying Him. Right or not? I'm the king. Look at my archery. Phew! Next time, take a whole bunch of arrows and strike the ground. Huh? Insignificant. Look stupid, Just strike the ground. Right? The account of Elijah and King Jehoash provides insight into the importance of complete obedience and persistence in following divine instructions. In this story, Elijah, while on his deathbed, instructs King Jehoash to take a bow and arrow and shoot through the eastern window. After the king shot one arrow, Elijah declared it as the Lord's arrow of victory over Aram, indicating the upcoming victory over Arameans at Aphek. Then Elijah instructs the king to take the remaining arrows and strike them against the ground. The number of times to strike wasn't explicitly stated. King Jehoash strikes the ground 3 times and then stops, not realizing the significance of his action. You won't realize. 3 times stop. What was the consequences? That's it. You only defeat him 3 times. After that, they'll defeat you. Elijah expresses disappointment, stating that if the king had struck the ground more times, he would have completely defeated the enemy. But now he would only be victorious 3 times. This story emphasizes the importance of complete obedience and persistence in following God's instruction. The king's failure to continue striking the arrow against the ground, as directed by Elijah, result in an incomplete victory. This story illustrates the principle that divine instruction may not always be explicit in every detail. God won't tell you everything. It's not explicit in every detail. Sometimes individuals are required to exercise faith and persistence in their obedience, even when specific details or outcomes are not directly stated. You don't know why you strike the ground. What does it mean? You don't know what you should do. You should strike until God says stop, or you strike until you see the result of striking the arrow on the ground. Insignificant. Look foolish. Arrow, I should shoot at the enemy. Why strike the ground with the arrow? Right? So, long time ago, I told somebody, my graduate accountancy degree, I joined the audit firm, every day make me photocopy. I said, just shut up and do it. Not long. She was given something more important, because it won't be long. Because she was just doing it, grumbling like grumble to pastor. And pastor get here, all the grumbling, you know. I said, just do it. And she did it. I thank God she listened, and she did it. Not long, it wasn't 10 years. Less, a couple of months later, then they gave something more important to do. That was the beginning. I mean, the moment she complained, I hear your attitude like that, I won't give it to you, right? I mean, your this kind of attitude, I don't want to give you something important to do. Your bad attitude looks bad on me, makes me look bad, you know. Right, your bad attitude in front of my big boss, I know I got somebody like you. But I see that you do insignificant things, making photocopies. I say, oh, this girl can. This man can. Okay, now let me add something else. Right? Then take the photocopy and give it to somebody else. Right? Because I have more important things for you to do. Amen? So, lesson derived from this story emphasizes the importance of wholehearted obedience to God's commands and continuing in faith and perseverance until instructed otherwise or until the desired outcome is achieved. It emphasizes the need to follow God's guidance with determination and perseverance, even when the path may not seem clear or when the exact step to achieve a goal are not explicitly stated. See now, that's why it's a walk of faith. That's why it's very important we pray for you. You know, what's your next job? Once God opens the door for the next job, you go in there, you don't know what is expected of you. You go in there, man, your mind got bombarded, boom, bam, bam, but you just walk. By faith and perseverance and obedience. Obedience what? Obedience to God. He gave you the job. Amen. So let me just say this again. It emphasizes the need to follow God's guidance with determination and perseverance. God's guidance what? He got you into this job, gave you this job. I wonder who is this for? Even when the path may not seem clear or when the exact steps to achieve a goal are not explicitly stated. All you need to know is whether God opened this door and gave you this job. The rest, you just walk by faith and just pray and be persistent and determined. In essence, the emphasis is that faith and obedience involves persistence, endurance, and a willingness to continue following God's instruction until the desired result of further guidance is received from the Lord. It is a call to remain faithful, persistent, unwavering in our pursuit of God's will and His intended outcome. Faithful, persistent, unwavering in our pursuit. For students, it's the same. Amen. You pray where you should go, what you should study. Once you go into it, you pursue it. And you finish it. Amen. You want it, you pursue it next 2 years. If you think it's God, then you pursue it. There's another opportunity now. You pursue it and you finish it. Takes patience and obedience. Obedient what? He gave you the job. How? I don't see where it leads. Just do it. Just stay there. Amen. If you stop, supernatural will stop. Right now. You quit, God cannot supernaturally enable you and get you further promoted, correct? Amen. So, thank you, Father. These three stories, there's one thing in common. Hear from the Lord, obey Him. No question asked, just obey Him. Doesn't matter how insignificant, just obey Him. Amen. Hear from Him, obey Him. One, we talk about the supernatural stops when the natural takes over. Secondly, when the natural stops, the supernatural also stops. Thirdly, supernatural stops when we give up. Amen. Thank you, Father. And understand this aspect of the nature of the Heavenly Father. He doesn't tell you the whole story. He won't tell you everything. He'll give you one instruction, you obey. Then when the time comes, He gives you the next instruction. And often like that, He gives you one instruction, you don't even know why. Was insignificant. That's why this Word of Faith revival, Word of Faith Rhema, is founded on two pillars. One is the Word of Faith. Two is how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything has been based on the Word. Two pillars. This school is built on two pillars. Now you understand why it's so important you learn how to follow His leading. You pray, you hear from God, you follow His leading, you be steadfast, you don't change. Amen. He won't give you details, you just obey Him. He just tell you to do something insignificant, you just obey Him. He tells you to do something, you don't know when and how long you're supposed to do it, you just continue to do it until He changes your direction, gives you new guidance. Amen. When you pray out something you believe is from God, you don't give up. Amen. You may not get it now. That's not how you're supposed to get it. Maybe after 2 years you get it. Up to you whether you want it or not. Right? Very simple. You pray out which school you go into, right? Why? He only tell you which school to go into. Huh? He won't tell you. What's after that? He pray out which school he'll go into. Secondary school. He got into the secondary school. The essence of this message, a lot has to do with following His leading. How to follow His leading. You understand? You don't learn to follow His leading, you messed up. Amen. Let me let you look at the heading again. Supernatural stops for the natural to take over. Emmanuel's situation. Supernatural stops when the natural stops. Because God is not limited, but we can limit God. It's nothing wrong. Sometimes that's all I can do. You get what I'm saying? That's all I can do. It's not because I purposely limit God, because that's all I can do. Amen. But the third one, you have to be careful. Supernatural stops when we give up. So what you do? You don't give up. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't give up even when there are setbacks. Amen. You never give up even when there are setbacks. Once you know, that's why it's very important we learn, we pray and follow the Lord's leading. Once we know He leads us this way, and when there are setbacks, we still don't give up. Amen. That's why we pray. Amen. Confidence is when we pray, we hear from God. Even though when there's setback in your life, I don't give up. You understand? And you learn not to give up, it builds resilience in you. Amen.